How many of you know that God is God and He's real? How many of you, God has chastised you and then told you go and enjoy yourself? What He says is go and rejoice, right? So, anyhow. How would you like to wear a t-shirt that says Lighthouse Church, Hub of Revival? Well, supposedly Brother Chris Gore has a sign-up sheet for you to put your name and your size on it so we can order them, all right? I think that'd be awesome. That's a God idea, not my idea, right? I just love what God's doing today. Are you excited about what God's doing, even in your own personal life? He's just filling you so full of... How many's having more dreams and visions at night than you ever had before? Mine last night, I don't think was so good. I'm going to have my little interpret, but I knew it's not going to be a good one. But anyhow, still in all, God is showing you things. You know, He shows you good things, He shows you bad things, right? So just like God, you know, right now God wants to give you dreams and visions to show you what's going on in your life. When you go to bed at night, expect to have a dream. Expect to have a vision. Expect to have something. Don't just expect to lay there and snore. Amen? You know, we ought to go to bed excited. Here I am, God. Go ahead and visit me all night long if you like. Really? Really? Just as, oh, thank God I got a bed. I can't wait to shut my eyes and start snoring, right? No. Father God, I'm laying down, but I'm not going to sleep. And you go to sleep, but what you mean is your body might go to sleep, but your spirit is wide awake. And God, I just want you to speak to my spirit, man, while I'm sleeping. I want you to give me instruction on what I should be doing. Amen? You know, each one of us must understand in here today that what God is doing to you, He's trying to perfect you. And He's doing many things to you. And He might give you a rough word of a prophecy. Accept that word. You know, if the prophet is true, accept that word, knowing that God loves you so much that He'll speak to you any way He wants to speak to you. Amen? And don't get all upset about it. Just say, all right, God, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for revealing this to me. Now show me what I have to do with it. Amen? And then let God, and God will be God. He's always God, but He will be God, and He will come and sovereignly tell you exactly how you are supposed to walk with that prophetic word that you just got. Amen. God's telling me to ask you, how many of you feel the electricity in the atmosphere tonight? Thank you. It's there. It's really there. Come on. So if there's electricity there, there has to be thundering there. If there has to be thundering there, has to be lightning there. If there has to be that, both those are going to have rain. An abundance of rain, right? I'm just telling you what I'm hearing, so I'm just repeating it. And He's saying again, God is all sovereign. He wants each one of you to get in your spirit. God is all sovereign. Amen. Get it down in your spirit. We're not going to watch Katie tonight, by the way. I hope you're not all disappointed. We're going to learn about love equals grace, grace and more grace. All right, let's read Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Are you listening to what God's saying in His word? For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? Listen to what these scriptures we're just now reading. When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Are you listening? Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. Are you listening? I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You know, when I first married my husband, he stood up and told everybody what a heathen he was, all right? I mean, he sat up here and said this. And so God had me wash his feet and become his servant. Little did I know what that meant. He was going to put me through hell for a while. And what that meant was I was supposed to go ahead and still love him and still be a servant to him, no matter what I was going through, which I did. And then he told me, you are a caregiver. Never allow anybody to stop you from being a caregiver. That's why I take people in and take people in and take people in, because I'm called to be a caregiver. I'm called to be a servant and a caregiver. And so these scriptures mean so much to me, because each time I do something for somebody, I know I'm doing it for the Lord or to the Lord. Amen. So you know what, guys? Quit complaining when God has you do something for somebody. Start doing it with a willing heart and a happy heart. You know, and rejoice in the fact that God's called you to be a servant and a caregiver. Wasn't Jesus always a servant? I call him a servant now because he's standing at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for me. I don't know about you, but he's interceding for me all the time. So he's my servant, right? Waiting on me, making sure I'm taken care of, I'm taking sure I'm all right. He's doing the same. See, each one of you in here should think that way. He's doing it just for me. Don't worry about the rest of the world. He's doing it just for me. And you might get a better understanding of what your walk with God's all about. And you might be able to receive his love, his unconditional love that he's been trying to pour out upon you. Amen. All right, question. How much grace do you want from God? How much mercy do you want from God? Then that is the measure you should show to others as well. Think about how many times each day you have fallen short of the mark. How many times have you spoken what is not of God? How many times have you judged another, yet you have been guilty of that sin in your own life? Or another sin, because sin is sin. How many times have you spoken nastily to get back at somebody, at someone? How many times have you been guilty of pride? God has spoken and said that the one who shows no mercy will receive none. Therefore, you reap what you sow. You know, in God's word, and I drill this into Gabriel all the time because kids need to know this. In God's word, it says we should honor our parents no matter what they do. Who they are, we should honor our parents. And when you don't honor your parents, you're walking under a curse. And if one parent is agreeing with the child and running the other parent down, then you're also walking under a curse, because you're causing them to sin by agreeing with them. This husband and wife should stick together, and if you're single, then you should not allow. My mother and father, even though they divorced, they still loved each other. It was a dumb pride thing. But they would never, ever talk about the other one. And they wouldn't let one of us talk about the other one either. They'd say, that's your mother. Or my mother would say, that's your father. You honor him. You do not talk about him. And you know what? We loved them both all of our life, because our parents would not allow us to talk about him. I just wish the world was like that today. I wish we had more people like that today. The sky pours down rain and snow, and the earth reaps water for its plants. Or I forgot to say, you reap what you sow. So the sky pours down rain and snow, and the earth reaps water for its plants. What do you want to plant? Maybe we should be planting mercy. Why? Mercy triumphs over judgment. When you plant kindness, honor, respect, and trust, you will receive those things. Plant love and mercy, and you will receive love and mercy. Plant hate and judgment, and you'll reap. You will reap hate and judgment. Plant anger and bitterness, and you will reap anger and bitterness. Plant pride, and you will be treated with pride from others. But if you plant humility, then you will reap humility back. What kind of harvest do you want? You sow in generosity, and you will reap generosity. I'm going to use Sister Reverend Nancy Willis for an example. When she got her income tax, she tithed to the church, and the devil said, "You don't have to do that." And she listened for a second. Then she said, "Nuh-uh, devil. God gets his 10%. So she tithed on that, even though she needed it. And God's been blessing her financially, and she was just really excited with what's been happening today. See, now if she would listen to the devil, she would have kept that money herself because she needed it, she wouldn't be being blessed today. You understand this? So she sowed in generosity, and she's reaping generosity now. You withhold and are stingy, then that will be done to you when you need help. All of creation is in balance and runs on the principle of sowing and reaping. You know, I'm sowing into somebody's life right now, and right now today I said to my husband, I'm really sort of getting sort of weary about this because it's like putting money in a basket with a hole in it. But God told me the other night, he said, I never want you to think about what, never say you're wasting this money. You are not wasting this money, even though I still have to get myself under control and not think that way. Amen. I'm doing what God told me to do. And God said, because you're obedient, it will be returned back to you. You understand this? So do you really want to reap all that you have sown? I don't think so. Because we haven't always sown good things, have we? No. Do you really want to reap all that you have sown? Because of God's grace, and because of God's love, you do not even reap the total of all that you have sown. You know, sometimes we've been very, very bad girls and boys, have we not? But God in his grace, and God in his mercy. But there for the grace of God go I. That should be your statement, instead of judging. The body of Christ still does not understand the love that God has poured out for you. That is so true. If you limit love, then it will be limited to you. If you withhold love, then it will be withheld from you. This is a natural law and a principle of God's kingdom. Our Lord's death and resurrection came to establish grace and mercy instead of judgment and punishment. Are you listening? Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24-25, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. John 1:17, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. See what it says? And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You know, we're going into the Easter season. And I've looked at the calendar wrong, and I thought today was Good Friday, and I said, God, I cannot get a Good Friday message together. Now I know why, because today's not Good Friday, all right? But I also thought, God, we do the same thing every year. You know, we show your son being beat and hung on a cross and dying, resurrecting. And I said, it doesn't change anybody's life. The church just goes on like Jesus did nothing. You know, just like God, you know, we used to have communion, I think once a month it was. And God said, don't you ever have communion again unless I tell you to, because it's become a ritual. And I really believe that on Easter, it becomes a ritual. And people just say, oh, well, here we go. We're going to watch Jesus being beat again. And it has no impact on anybody's life. And God, and nothing is a ritual with God. Everything is supernatural. If only we could just like God said, to come up higher, come into the glory realm where he's at. If only we could reach that realm and stay there. But the body of Christ gets excited, and then I hate hype. I really do. Because you get all excited, all hyped up, then you drop. And you don't retain what God was trying to do for you. This is why I want so desperately for everybody to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because the flesh profits you absolutely nothing. Amen? Where am I? Hebrews? No, God's Word. God's Word says, my grace is sufficient for you. We need to think about this. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God's grace is sufficient. You know, we never know from one second to the next what life holds for us, do we? So we need to grab hold of the fact that God's grace is sufficient every second of every day. And it doesn't matter what comes down the road, his grace is still there and his grace is still sufficient. The reason why we moan and groan and complain and get all bent out of shape and get all hysterical is because we don't understand God's grace. We don't understand that he has given us that grace to carry us through the trials and the tribulations of life. I think that's pretty good. I just heard that, so I said it. You know? God's grace. God's grace will see you kids through school. God's grace will see marriages that are failing. God's grace will be there, and it can lift that marriage up. You know, when you're sick, God's grace is there to walk you through that sickness and get you healed. Amen? Come on. God is able to give you all the grace you need in any situation to endure, to overcome, to pass through, to destroy the enemy, and to do the right thing. But you must humble yourself and come to him to ask for it. God, give me more grace. You know, little Isaac, I love that little boy to pieces. He's so cute. Isn't he cute? He loves the Lord. He's just as ordinary as he is cute, though. And he has a strong will. He does, and he's going to do it his way. And I said, God, more grace. I do. I yell, God, more grace. I said, dear God, I need more grace. I don't want to break his spirit. He has a beautiful spirit. I don't want to break that spirit. And God's going to use that boy mightily. He uses it mightily right now to get me to pray a lot. Amen. He gets me very humble at times. So where am I at now? Hebrews 4:16. Let's go back to where God is able. God is able to give you all the grace you need in any situation to endure, to overcome, to pass through, to destroy the enemy, to do the right thing. But you must humble yourself and come to him to ask for it. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I have somebody working in my yard right now, and all three kids were out there ripping and tearing. They were having a good time. They really were. And he came around the corner. He said, do you drink, Miss Lynch? I said, no. He said, I'd be an alcoholic if I was you. He said, these kids are a trip. No, it's grace. I don't need a drink. It's grace, right? Come on. See, if I was Sister Nancy and had all these kids, I'd need a whole lot of grace. If you need grace, especially since she has teenagers who think they know it all, you really need grace for that. Amen. You know, I have a little 8-year-old thing. He knows it all. So if you had 8 of them like that, if you need grace and mercy, how much more then should we give it to others who are in need of it? Amen. If you need grace and mercy, how much more then should we give it to others who are in need of it? When Sister Nancy had 7 children and she was pregnant, I said, you're going to have an 8th child. God give her grace. Why would you ever want another child after you already had 7, you know? But you know what? They're her pride and her joy. They're her jewels. They're gifts from God. Amen. If you really stop thinking about how many children do you really raise in your lifetime that are not your own? Think about that. You raise your own, then you have your grandkids, then your great-grandkids, you have somebody else's kids, you know, and you probably raise more than 8, right? All your kids bring kids into the house and you feed them and, you know, and put up with them and do whatever, you know. It's just one big family, right? Grace. It's all about grace. Remember the parable of the unjust servant. Now listen to this parable. Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. That's in one day, all right? Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. See what happened there? But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Now, this man just got forgiven, all right? So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went through him into prison till he should pay the debt. Doesn't that always amaze you? The courts do that. They throw you in jail and tell you you owe all this money and you have to pay it, but yet you throw you in jail where you can't make any money to pay it. You know? Then the state keeps you, and it's more money than what you owed to begin with. And here this man is. He's thrown him in prison till he can pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And then verse 35 says, so my heavenly Father also would do to you, each one of us in here, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Come on. How do you want God to judge you? Then you need to judge your brother in the same fashion. You want God to take away his grace and let you go to hell? Then you have to show your fellow brother and sister the same grace and forgive them their trespasses against you. If we do not forgive others, neither will God forgive us. You know, it's a shame, but in the body of Christ, as much as this has been taught, there are still people sitting in the body of Christ that do not forgive. And I just can't. Well, then, you know, God can't forgive you either. Or they say, well, I forgive you, but they never forget, do they? They keep bringing it up over and over and over and over and over again. You haven't forgiven whenever you do that. God grieves over the sins we commit, but he quickly forgives us. See that? You know, we can grieve over the sin that people do against us, but we have to do like Jesus said, we have to quickly forgive them. Because the longer you hold on to it, the deeper it goes into your spirit, into your soul. And then it just does a whole lot of damage, right? If this is the case, and it is, then why do you hold on to the wrongs you think others do? You know, I can come up to you and I can chew you out about something you've done, and I can walk, I'm fine, I forgot it, it's done, it's over with. But you sit there and say, how dare she do that? And you stew on it all night. And then when you get up in the morning, then you're all in a twit over nothing. Get it out in the open and get it over with, right? Aren't we supposed to be just like Jesus? Then we need to forgive as we have been forgiven. Do not presume to know another's heart. You know, God always says we look at the outward appearance, and what we should do is ask God to let us see through His eyes to see what a person's really going through. Amen. And I know some people that on the outside, they look like they're perfect heathens on their way to hell, but really, as God lets me see the inside, they are some tormented people that really need a lot of love and a lot of forgiveness, a lot of mercy, a lot of grace, because their struggles on the inside are really, really bad. Are you listening? Let's quit looking at people on the outside. And I say, God, let me see them with your eyes so I know exactly what's going on in their life. Amen. Do not presume to know another's heart. Do not judge the world, for the world is already condemned. Isn't that what the word tells us? John 3:18. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, that's talking about the world. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Jesus did everything that He did at Easter time, and yet still people would rather live in darkness than they would in the light. That's why you have in the world what's going on in the world today. That's why you have these other people rising up right now, wreaking all kind of havoc all across the world, because they love darkness better than light, more than light. Verse 20 says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. I want each one of you in here tonight just to really determine your heart that you're going to forgive. And you're never going to go back into that mess ever again of unforgiveness. It doesn't matter. Really, it does not matter what that person did to you. You cannot change what happened in your past. It's done. It's over with. The hurt was made done, and you know, but God's teaching us how to get rid of the hurt, and so it's up to you and I to get rid of the hurt, get rid of the pain, get our souls healed, and you know, and pray for the one. The Word of God says, "Pray for your enemies," does it not? The Word of God does not nowhere tell me to curse my enemies. It tells me to pray for them. Sometimes when I pray for them, I have to grit my teeth, and I'm being honest and say, "God, you know," but we have to pray for them. Amen. And you know what? As you pray for them, you'll get to love them. You really will. Because, you know, what they did to you will mean absolutely nothing, because you're walking so close to the flame that what they did is gone. You burn away, totally burn away. And you can go on and say, you know, I really feel sorry for them because they were the ones that were messed up, not me. If they messed me up, it's because I allowed them to, right? So, you know, just let them go ahead and just, I won't say what I was going to say. Matthew 12:25. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. It will not stand. You know, you're a vessel, you're a house. If you're in there wavering back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, you're not going to stand in Christ. You're going to have to get rid of these unforgiving things you have within inside of you. We had a person die, and his wife tried to get us to raise him back, but we knew it wasn't ever going to happen because he could not forgive. He could not forgive. He wouldn't forgive. And you know, no matter what we said or did, he would not forgive. And so he did. He passed away. And his wife blamed us. Well, you profess to be so spirit-filled and have all this anointing, but we can have all the anointing in the world. If a person isn't going to forgive, we can't do anything about it. Are you listening here? So don't let people bring, it doesn't bring condemnation on me, because I know what the situation is, and I know that we did the right thing. And we went to that funeral home and we prayed for I don't know how long, but we knew that man was not going to be raised up from the dead, because he died with unforgiveness in his heart. You know, but still in all, we did it. You know? Proverbs 25, and we were relieving too. I said, okay, God, I know he died in unforgiveness, but please, can you raise him back up? Just because his wife is so adamant, she wants him to come back to life. Can you please just raise him back up again, you know, so he can get his life right? But it just didn't happen. Proverbs 25:21 said, she's going to have to take her upstairs, because I think they're in a room back there. Okay. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. Who? Your enemy. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. Your enemy. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Everybody knows that my first husband, he divorced me. We was married for 40-some years. And then he remarried, and he wanted to show me that he could get me married. And he brought his wife to my home. Didn't bother me any. I fed them. I gave them room and board. I entertained them, you know. I had no unforgiveness in my heart. So, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. He wasn't my enemy. He was like everybody else, had a problem. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. I wasn't trying to reap coals of fire on his head, though. That's just me, you know. That's just who I am. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Read that again. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. In Mark 9:35 says, and he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. We have a hard time being a servant. I don't know why, but we just, you know, if your shoe doesn't fit, please don't put it on. But the body of Christ has a hard time being a servant. They think everybody, you know, the body of Christ thinks everybody owes them. And nobody owes anybody. And God doesn't owe you a thing. He really doesn't. His son paid the price for everything. Amen. Romans 12:17. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. I'm going to have to share something here with you. You know, God told me to be his servant, and he really put me through the loop. And then one day I prophesied to him that he was going to have more anointing than I did. And I thought this was the most wonderful thing in the world. But let 8 years go by. One day I said, God, he better never have it more anointing than I have. And I'm being honest. I said, this little whippersnapper better never have more anointing than I do. Then what did I have to do? I had to go in and say, God, I'm really sorry I even thought that thought, let alone speak it to you. I don't feel like I did that day, though. Believe me, I did. I was a mess with that thing. I wanted God to take his head and flush in the toilet about 10 times. Amen. Talk about anointing. But I got all excited the other night for the first time. He couldn't hardly stand up. You know, that is awesome. For somebody I wanted to be flushed. You know, one day, little whippersnapper got my face standing in my doorway in our bedroom. And I said, God, just kill him. Oh, look at you, you righteous preacher, you. And I said, Father, I'm so sorry. I really, please don't kill him. But you know, see, your flesh rears up and does things it shouldn't do. Amen. Come on. Okay, so I said that because it's repay no one evil for evil. So I was trying to repay evil for evil, all right? But I got straightened out. I really did, right away, quickly. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. See that? Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. In other words, if somebody's fighting with you, don't fight back. Let them go ahead and do their thing. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And what do we do when everybody starts an argument? I don't do this, never been like this. I think it's stupid. You have to have the last word. I watch people, I think, how dumb can you be? You know, and this is what God's saying. Don't argue back. Walk away from it. Let it alone. There's a door. Open it up and walk out. That's all you have to do. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Hear that? So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. God will take care of your enemies. And Paul was boasting about that, these people, that they were enduring the persecution they were going through. Paul couldn't boast about the church today because nobody endures tribulation. I'll get even with you. You watch and see. You'll pay for this. Everything we read in the scriptures is all about grace. God's amazing grace. Are you listening? It's grace that's going to see you through. It's grace that it's going to cause God to work on your behalf. It is grace that will allow you to be somebody's servant. It's all about grace. When God told me to wash his feet and become his servant, at that point, God must have poured a whole bucket of grace on me because he knew I was going to need grace to go through what he was going to put me through. Amen. I said that to say this. If God has called you to a hard thing, he will have the grace there already to see you through it. And if you think your bucket had a hole in it and some of it leaked out, cry out to God. He'll give you more grace. I'm telling you, God gives you as much grace as you need to endure the things that he's asked you to do. Now, if you're doing things that he didn't ask you to do, then I'd real quickly repent and get rid of what you're doing that he didn't ask you to do, because his grace isn't going to help you any, because you got out there in that limb all by yourself. And now what you need to do is admit that you did something all in your own flesh and repent and allow God then to bring you through it. It's grace. The rock and the sword is grace. I want you to get that grace so buried in your spirit. You know, last night when Katie was telling us that she took that dagger and stabbed that there spider, you know, what I saw was a black car and then it went down into all this dredge and stuff, you know, and I said, God, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to be like Katie. I'm going to take that dare sword and stab it to death. You know, I saw myself stabbing and stabbing and stabbing and stabbing that thing. And finally, all the darkness disappeared and a bright light showed and I saw little daisies growing around in this bright light. So I killed that thing, whatever it was. So you see, if we would just take God's word and apply it, we should have been applying it last night whenever she gave it, it will work. Because God's grace is always there. It's always sufficient to see us through everything. God's saying right now he would like to give this body an abundance of grace. And he's saying, because some of the tribulations that you're going to have to go through, and you're going to go through these tribulations because of what the world brings in to the church. And with this abundant grace that he wants to give you tonight, you'll be able to endure. I'm hearing him say, to the end. to see these people receive Christ as their Lord and their Savior. That you won't fall and you won't stumble, but because of His great grace, His abundance of grace that He's pouring out upon you, you will be able to look through the eyes of Christ and see people and things the way Christ sees them. God's telling you this, not me. There's situations in your life right now that you just don't know how you can adore another second of it. And God said, as you receive this abundance of grace tonight, you won't look at that situation through those eyes anymore. Because God's grace is going to be there. It's God's grace that's going to bring you through it. Amen.